Loading. I'm Dr. Cynthia Stone. I have a master's in community health nursing, a doctorate in public health from the University of Pittsburgh, and I've worked on the Indiana TB Education Committee for about 10 years now. I taught in the School of Nursing for about 15 years, and just in this past year moved over to the School of Medicine's Department of Public Health, and I really became involved in TB education. Instructor TB instructor course that was designed through the American Lung Association and the Indiana State Department of Health. And we began, again, about 10 years ago, incorporating that content into our BSN program so that all the students got the basic content of that course as a regular part of lecture, as a way to use an infectious disease as examples of epidemiological concepts. And then we offered the final part of the course as an elective that they could do during their clinical time. And to be able to then do TB testing in their different clinical settings that they were involved in. So that's how I became involved. And then for about the last 6 years of my time with this committee, we started offering a symposium to these instructors so that every other year they would get information and get updated. So what I'm doing is really helping to summarize the content that we provided to those public health nurses primarily last year. And I don't think I said I am with Indiana University. All right, so there's my disclaimer. All right. So since I was going first, what I thought I would do is just give you a little bit of an update, set some of the stage for some of the other presentations, a little bit about TB in particular, not knowing all who would be coming, and then really help highlight some of the changes in practice because of the increasing cases of multiple drug-resistant and extreme drug-resistant, and a little bit about the partnerships that are helping to resolve that. And as I said, the education program is a partnership with the American Lung Association Indiana affiliate and our State Department of Health, and we do this conference every other year. The instructors that attend are providing what we call a basic Mantoux skin test course. We use the CDC core curriculum for TB, and we provide the courses then. Legally, primarily mandated folks are using it are in occupational health settings for employees in health settings, and then in long-term care. It's mandated that anyone entering long-term care must have a Mantoux skin test. So the instructors are primarily providing the information for those folks to be doing that testing in those different settings. And last year's symposium, we had about 200 in attendance, and 96% were public health nurses. But just a little bit of background, TB is transmitted airborne disease, coughing, sneezing folks. Worldwide, about 2 billion with latent infection, just under 2 million deaths reported in 2006 worldwide, and that's a little over 9 million new cases of TB every year. The multiple drug-resistant cases, again, are increasing with more new cases each year, both worldwide and in the U.S., as well as our extreme drug-resistant cases. The multiple drug-resistant form basically don't respond to standard six-month treatment using first-line drugs, primarily INH and rifampin. And so by adding the additional drugs takes even longer than to complete the recommended therapy, and the cost is about 100 times more when you go to having to treat the drug-resistant cases. The top prevalence, as you can see, Azerbaijan, Moldova, and Ukrainian in the last reported statistics that I could find. And the extreme drug-resistant cases, primarily to INH rifampin, fluoroquinolone, and one other second-line TB injectable drug, primarily, as you know, were identified through the cases in South Africa in 2006, where 53 were diagnosed, and 52 died within a short period of time, and 44 had co-diagnosis of HIV. As of, again, most recent stats, WHO is reporting that now 45 different countries have diagnosed cases of extreme drug resistance. Two-thirds of those current cases were coming from the Soviet Union and China. And they gave a couple of percentages. In Armenia, 4% of their cases were drug resistant. In Estonia, 24% of their overall cases that were reported were drug resistant. There was a study looking at treatment of extreme drug resistant cases in Peru. 48 of their over 800 cases did have extreme drug resistance. They established very individualized, directly observed therapy, on average using 5 different medications to help control those cases, or just over 2 years of treatment. And they did have a 60% cure rate. So it's not like that it's hopeless, but it's a lot more work to be able to treat those cases. And then the WHO global response is really to looking at strengthening TB control, looking at ways to stop the spread of TB, increasing the programs that are specifically addressing the drug-resistant and extreme drug-resistant strains, trying to have more lab services available in the different countries so that they can diagnose these drug-resistant strains, increase surveillance programs, and working on more transmission control, and further funding for research and development of programs. The Stop TB Partnership is now involved in 45 different countries, helping to get drugs out for those that have the multiple drug-resistant strains, working for everyone having access to those specific drugs, and more funding to help increase the use of the drugs. As I said, that's anticipated to be able to save 134,000 patients with the 2 multiple drug and extreme drug-resistant strains over the next 2 years if full funding of those programs can be implemented. And the specific 6 steps involved in the program is to have more countries that are available to do directly observed therapy, to be able to, again, address those, identify and then connect with treatment those with the resistant strains, help to support their health providers, empower more folks to be able to work within their communities to address TB, promote more research, with target rates then set over the next few years, looking at stopping and reversing the increasing incidence rates, decreasing prevalence by hopefully 50%, increasing on more ability to identify cases, more folks involved in direct observed therapy, and increasing success of the treatments. In our particular state, one thing that is more newly available is the increasing availability of doing QuantiFERON TB Gold testing instead of having to rely on the skin testing. Before, about the last year and a half, we only had counties that were close basically to Chicago or Louisville that had access to this testing. And one of the things we shared at the last conference was that more labs were available and, you know, just how the county nurses could be starting to offer this. The main problem with it is the increased cost, but it is at least available for folks. In our health departments that have higher levels of international folks, especially tied to like our big state universities, they had been using the QuantiFERON TB Gold skin testing in those areas a little bit ahead of some of the other parts of the state. And if you're not familiar with the test, just a few of the advantages: you can do it with just one blood draw instead of having to have the 2 visits to administer and then do the reading. It doesn't have a booster effect like the skin testing does. You don't need to do a 2-step test if you're using that to help do some evaluation. It can test for 6 different mycobacterium at the same time. The results in our area are available within 24 hours. And then you do have the cost savings in not having to do as many chest x-rays. And you won't have as many folks that you have to send forward that might have false positive skin tests. And you don't have as much reader bias in doing the reading of the skin test. And then just some of the disadvantages. You do have to get it to a lab and have it processed within 12 hours. So that's why sort of the geographic locations of the labs make such an impact. You can have some errors in both collection and transporting if you're not doing that correctly. There's not a lot of data yet looking at using of the test for those at risk for developing disease, and it hasn't been as well researched as far as using it for children under 17 and those that are more recent exposures to tuberculosis or with other immunocompromising diagnosis or treatments. I did want to add, just about 2 weeks ago, there was a wonderful teaching video that became available through the Stop TB website. It's called Spread the Story, Stop the Disease. And if you haven't looked at that, it's some wonderful photos of folks with TB in different developing countries. It's available at http://www.xdrtb.org. It's www.xdrtb.org. And it would be a very nice way to illustrate some of the folks being with extreme drug resistance TB and able to use that visualization as you tell the story of working with these folks.
I just ask a question. We've been moving from skin testing and now to QuantiFERON gold, QuantiFERON into, and one of the things we find is we have these big skin testing classes, like you were, but now we have to move to blood drawing. And so we have skin testing classes for unlicensed personnel, and so we have these cadres of people out there, and suddenly we're going to have to switch very soon. So I'm wondering, right. Is there any...
Well, within our state right now, they're relying on hospital labs or this lab, you know, so at this point, it's more partnerships with those that have those skills right now, because, again, more of the health departments are still using the skin testing so they can have that geographic availability.
Right.
But yeah, that's exactly right. You have to have that skill to be able to do that test.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you want to come up here so we have some? This is wonderful to have standing room only. But I will try to free up a few seats here so that some of you that are standing in the back can come forward to the chairs up here. Next we have Sandra, Marie Moreno, and I'm going to ask her to introduce.